Merry Christmas. That was really sad. Let's try it again. Merry Christmas. That was much better. The first time, I'm not sure you were awake or you were holding a baby, so you couldn't acknowledge my Christmasness. Hello. Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone. We're really glad that you're here with us this morning. My name's Kelsey. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And we're thrilled that you're here, especially because this is Christmas Sunday, or the Christmas before Sunday. Sunday before. I give up. So Merry Christmas. I'm glad you're here. We have a lot of things to go over very, very, very quickly today. So bear with me as I race through a bunch of announcements. If I go too fast and you're really confused, the announcements are in your bulletin, or you can stop by Welcome Central and ask them any question you want. In fact, sometimes I think we should just go ask them weird questions and see if they have answers. Maybe math questions. Any of you in Welcome Central, you mathematicians? No? You're a mathematician. Would you like to work in Welcome Central then? No. All right, quick announcements. Here we go. First one, this Wednesday is Christmas Eve. Thursday is Christmas Eve. It's just a good day. This Thursday is Christmas Eve. Your shopping should be done on Wednesday is what I was going for. Any of you done with shopping? Okay, a couple of you. That's actually a surprising number. It's like 10%. No wonder the stores are busy. I will be shopping today. It's called Amazon. So it's going to be great. It won't get anywhere in time, but it's okay. My family doesn't expect that out of me. So here we go. Christmas Eve, what you need to know about here. This Thursday, not Wednesday, don't be confused. This Thursday is Christmas Eve, and we are going to be doing two Christmas Eve services. It's a little different than anything we've done in the past, so bear with me. The first one is at 5 p.m. right in here, and it's our family service. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a family. It means come join our family. Bring your kids. We're going to have things for them to color and do and interact with. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to sing Christmas carols. We're going to watch a skit. It's going to be lots and lots of fun, okay? You may even get some angels up here again or something. I'm not going to give any secrets away. I think I just did. So come 5 p.m., bring your friends, family, neighbors. Then at 10 p.m., we're doing something a little different. We're going to have a more traditional candlelight service. We're going to kind of strip down some instruments and just kind of, not all of them, some will still be played, but we're just going to kind of strip down and be a little quieter and just reflect and have some candlelight experience. So if you have kids that should not play with fire, I recommend the 5 p.m. service. Otherwise, if you want to come to both, you can. They have similar elements, so you can get up and, you know, act them out with the team. No. Axe would not appreciate that, huh? No. I'm staring at Mike, and he doesn't know I'm talking. Mike. No. Okay. So those are those two services. Do you understand? Are we good? With that, you have handy-dandy flyers in your bulletin. These are not for you. I love you, and I want to give you Christmas presents, but this is not it. This is for you to go hand to your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, the grocery store clerk, whoever you run into. This is for them. If you need more, there are several at Welcome Central. If midweek you're like, I ran out of these, Kelsey, I need more, call me and I will find more for you, okay? Go invite your friends and family and neighbors and whoever else you can find. I don't care. We used to in youth group have a phrase. It's called litter for Jesus. I don't care if you just start handing them out to, don't litter, but for Jesus, okay? Hand them out. Cool? We're like half asleep. Are you guys half asleep? Yes. Well, this is just great. Next, for Christmas Eve, if you are really good at baking or you pretend to be good at baking or you just want to give away things to people, we need Christmas cookies. So if you are available to bake some for the Christmas Eve service, yes, there will be cookies at the Christmas Eve service, please sign up at Welcome Central. We need lots of cookies. We're okay if we have too much. We'd rather have too much than too little. So sign up at Welcome Central. Bring a couple dozen. We're really okay with a good classic chocolate chip cookie. Unless you're really fancy and you want to make lemon bars, then just give them to me. So that's number two. Got it? Someone chuckled. I liked that. Next, if last week you pre-ordered one of the CDs for Bob Brower, they are in Welcome Central right now. If you have not ordered, you don't have to have ordered one. We are giving out by donations some sermons from Bob Brower, and I encourage you to go pick one up. In fact, one of the sermons I was listening to, and literally in the office, just started tearing. Incredible messages, and all of those proceeds are going towards Alzheimer's research, which is who we're giving to this Christmas. So please, please, please go and pick up a couple CDs. They also make great stocking stuffers. They really are sermons that you can give out, and they just bring incredible joy and love. So please check that out. We also have sermon booklets from him if you want to pick one of those up by donation as well. So stop by Welcome Central for those. If you pre-ordered, walk up then, say, I pre-ordered, and they'll hand you what you ordered. Is that cool? Really, really, really worth your time, okay? And then finally, for these announcements, on Wednesday, it looks different than normal. We do not have normal programming, and it's not because we don't love you, but because it's Christmas time, and we want to make sure we're not taking you guys out of your house every day of the week. So on Wednesday, 5:30, there's a meal. If you want to come and share in that meal, it's going to be delicious, right? Scott says yes. So it'll be delicious, so come on Wednesday at 5:30 for the meal. And then if you are part of any of the Christmas festivities for Thursday, we have rehearsal at 6, okay? Is everyone following with me so far? We good? If you're not a part of anything and you just want to hang out with me in Winfields or something, that's cool too. I'll hang out with you, play some board games. Right, Hunter? Hunter and I are going to play board games. All right. The last announcement is a little bit more on the serious side, and it's just kind of some family business. For those of you who have not heard, Patty Stevens' husband just passed away. And so she wanted us to let you guys know so that everyone can kind of just be praying for her. Please, please, please be praying for her in this time, especially around the holidays. It's incredibly difficult to say farewell. So if you guys over the next week can just make sure that she's in your prayers constantly, that would be very appreciated. Right now, in fact, I'm just going to take a moment and I just want to pray for Patty. So if you guys want to bow your heads with me. God, we come before you not totally understanding this life and death thing and confused and overwhelmed by what happens. And right now, God, we come with heavy hearts. We come with heavy hearts for the passing of Kelly and the life that he lived. And right now, God, we also pray for Patty, who in the middle of Christmas season gets to carry another thing with her. And we just ask that you bring life into her, that you surround her, that you show her your presence, that you show her your love for her and walk her through this incredibly difficult time. I pray for the family that they would just be comforted. And God, even though we don't have answers, I thank you that you are a God of all gods. Please, please just bless Patty this season. And God, as we move into a time of greeting and worship, allow us just to love one another and bring your presence into this room and celebrate a season even when our hearts are heavy. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Right now, if you guys want to get up and go give each other hugs, greet some people, make sure you say hi to someone you don't know. Thank you, guys.
Well, good morning. You can continue to talk and hang out, but we're going to start singing.
Choirs of angels, sing it exalted. angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I am bringing you some good news. It will be a joy to all the people. Today your Savior was born in David's town. He is Christ the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in clothing and lying in a manger." Then a large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel. All the angels were praising God, saying, "Give glory to God in heaven, and on earth there will be peace to the people who please him."
Then the angels left the shepherds and went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. We will see this thing that the Lord told us about." So the shepherds went quickly and found Mary and Joseph. And the shepherds saw the baby lying in the manger. Then they told what the angels said about the child. Everyone was amazed when they heard what the shepherds said to them. Mary hid these things in her heart. She continued to think about them. Then the shepherds went back to their sheep, praising God and thanking him for everything that they have seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them.
Club 3-5 is starting in just a few moments. If you're in third to fifth grade and you'd like to participate in that, you can exit out that door momentarily, and we hope that you have a great time. In first service, I came up to preach right after those cute little kids sang. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think there was a person in this place who was more, nobody wanted to be in that place. Following after these little kids, these cute little kids, is nearly impossible because that was just awesome. And then the choir, this has been, what a great day. You know what I'm saying? It's just God's doing some good stuff. So, and you heard Jim and Tom speak Luke verses chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And those shepherds that night had a lot going on. And I've often wondered what it would have been like to have been there. Now, granted, I've never been a shepherd. People really don't want me around animals at times. I get it, even though I have some fish in my office, which is very soothing. But that first Christmas, when the announcement was made to a group of shepherds, it had to startle them. It was something that they did not anticipate. It was not something that they had planned. But get this, the King of Heaven came down. The King of Heaven came down at that time, at that place, to rescue humanity. It's an amazing event that happened. And so we're going to see a video clip here in just a few moments. And it's a conversation that happened between two shepherds and what they were going through that night. And then after that clip is over, I'm going to give you what I believe is a shepherd's perspective from that particular evening, that particular event. And so we look forward to Christ coming, and he comes in a miraculous way that first Christmas evening. Father, we pray now, as we come into this time, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of us, that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our lives to receive from you what it is that you have for us. A little baby in a manger, growing to a place where he eventually died on a cross and rose from the dead to rescue humanity, is an amazing story. And it all started because you came. It started because you came to be with us and to be one of us. Lord Jesus, be glorified in this time. And may we understand more fully who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I invite you to watch this clip.
Wait. Someone has to watch the sheep.
What are you talking about?
Someone has to watch the sheep. They're sheep, okay? They eat, they poop, they sleep. They'll be fine. Let's go.
That is the same thing that you said when you wanted to go see the Mutton and Sons concert, and we saw it, and we lost half our flock. We lost half.
Sam! Angels, they just popped out of the sky, and instead of sprinting to Bethlehem, you're all like, no, we gotta take care of the sheep. What about their abandonment issues?
Hey guys, I'm gonna race you, okay? Last one there is the stinky loincloth. Let's go! Look, okay? The angels are there, okay? That's what they do. That's why we call them guarding angels.
No, it's guardian angels. Guardian.
Tomato? Who cares? Why are we still standing here?
Someone needs to watch the sheep. You know it, I know it, and the sheep know it.
Sheep don't feel.
You can't prove that. Fine. There's only one way to solve this. Rock, parchment, shears. Loser stays with the sheep.
Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot!
Ah!
today. Today, in the town of David, a Savior will be born unto you.
Right.
Why did the angel say that? Why did the angel tell a bunch of lowly shepherds about the coming of the Messiah? I mean, why us?
I don't know why us, but they did. So maybe this Messiah didn't just come for people that matter. Maybe he came for people like us, which is all the more reason why we need to go.
I know, and I want to. It's just a lot to take in. It's been a crazy night.
Did you see how fast I was running over there? I was like a lightning bolt. But no, you guys are never gonna believe this. I forgot my good cloak. Can you imagine me meeting the Messiah without my good cloak? That would be ridiculous. I can't even. I'll see you.
Let me bottom line this for you. I, for one, cannot not go see this Messiah. Okay? So if what you're saying is that I, instead of seeing the man who's going to change everything, have to stay here and sheep sit, well, that just won't work for me.
You're right. You're right. But before we go, I'm not trying to nitpick, but you said cannot not, and that's a double negative. It is. Promise me when we go meet the Messiah, you cannot not talk like that. Promise me you won't talk like that to the Messiah.
He's a baby. He's in swaddling clothes. I don't think he's gonna care how we Okay, fine. Me talk pretty. Let's go.
Wait. I think I just solved our problem.
What are you guys still doing here? What are you waiting for? It's the King of Kings, okay? So less standy, more runny.
Frank, take a knee.
Okay.
We were playing Rock, Parchment, Shears.
Oh, yeah?
You lost.
Oh.
Shows off, never mind. We read these words. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks all night. There were five of us that evening. Benjamin, Caleb, Hosea, some new guy that we called Al, and myself. It was an evening, nothing out of the norm was happening. We had drawn straws, and I ended up taking the first watch of the night. The stars were everywhere. Out in those hills, you could see stars from one end to the other end, and they seemed to be so close that you could touch them. My dad, growing up, told me stories and about our Jewish heritage and the different important people that we knew about. He told me this story one time about this guy named Abraham, and God took Abraham outside, and he looked at Abraham, and he said to Abraham, he said, I want you to look at those stars. I want you to look up at those stars, Abraham, and I want you to count them if you can actually do that. I want you to count them because I want you to realize this, that even though there are these stars everywhere, and trust me, Abraham, you will not be able to count all of them. I want you to realize that your descendants will be more than those stars. It's on nights like this when I think back to that story of God talking to Abraham, saying that his descendants will outnumber the stars in the sky. Caleb and Hosea and Benjamin and I were talking about this the other day, and we put together this song, and it goes like this. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. I don't know if that song will ever catch on. We thought it was pretty catchy at the time. But as I looked at those stars that night, it reminded me of how small I was. How insignificant I was. You see, as a shepherd, nobody really wants to hang out with us. When we come into a town, people part like the Red Sea. I get it to a point. We smell really bad. You try hanging out with sheep for a while and all the stupid things that they do and get into, you would smell too. But it isn't just that we smell bad. It's that nobody trusts us. Most of us are reliable. Most of us take care of our sheep. Most of us look out for the well-being of our sheep. But there are times when some of us go to places that we shouldn't go. We go into these fields that are not ours. There's some farmers, and we go in and we release the sheep, and the sheep devastate this person's farmland. And then we make up stories about what happened, and people don't trust us anymore. It's come to a place where we're no longer allowed to testify in a court of law. It hurts. It hurts being a shepherd. But the main thing that really reminds us of how insignificant and how small we are isn't just these stars and the vastness of the universe, but what reminds us of how small we are and how insignificant we are is we are considered unclean and we never get to go to the temple. All these years we want to go to the temple and we want to get close to the presence of God, yet we can't. And people, if they touch us, if they just brush up against us, they become unclean. They want nothing to do with us. That night was a beautiful night. Benjamin was doing what Benjamin does, and that's snoring, and he snores really loudly. Caleb and Hosea and Al were trying to get some sleep, but Benjamin snores so loudly, it's next to impossible to sleep. I wish somebody did a sleep study on him or something to figure out what's going on with him. But yet, something happened. We're shepherds, and even though Benjamin sleeps soundly, we don't sleep fully because we have to protect these sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." All of a sudden, as we were sitting there and Benjamin was snoring and the other guys were trying to sleep, and I was watching over the flocks and looking at the stars and considering how small I was, I heard something off in the distance. It wasn't that far away. And it was a sound that meant trouble. All of a sudden, Benjamin sat up straight. Hosea, Caleb, and Al shot up, and they stood up, and they looked around, and Caleb looks at me. He says, "Did you hear that?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said, do you know what that is?" And I said, "I have no idea what it is." And the sound grew closer and closer and closer. And then all of a sudden, it was so bright. You could not see very well at all. It was brighter than the brightest day you've ever experienced. There are five of us there, and we don't know what to do. We are stunned. And I caught a glimpse of a piece of food in between Caleb's front two teeth that must have been there from dinner. It was a little bit awkward to notice that at the time, but I needed some type of relief. But then a voice came from within that bright light. And as the voice came, all of a sudden we realized there was an angel, and all of us froze in absolute fear. We were afraid. Now keep in mind, we're a group of shepherds. We have taken on bears. We've taken on lions. We've taken on all types of wild animals who have attacked our flocks. We've taken on thieves that want to come into our flocks and steal our sheep. And we've taken them on and we've battled them. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't want to mess with Benjamin. Benjamin is like a mixed martial artist of some type. He can take anybody down at any time. We're shepherds. We never back off in fear. And if you run when you're afraid, you're never going to be a shepherd. But there's five of us, five experienced shepherds, completely trembling in fear. We don't know what to do. And this angel comes forward and says, "Don't be afraid." My immediate response to the angel was, "You have got to be kidding me. We've heard stories about you. We know that when people see an angel, there's a good chance that they're going to die. We have a responsibility. We have these sheep here. We need to take care of these sheep. If we die, well, I guess it doesn't matter, does it? But you're telling us to chill out. You're telling us to relax. You're telling us to take it easy. We can't take it easy. We think we might die." But you said something else. You said that you bring us good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. Good news. Good news. Good news is that I guess we're not going to die. The only good news and the only joy that I see on people right now are these Romans that continue to beat us up, these Romans that continue to take advantage of us. They're the only ones that seem to be having great joy. But you're saying you have good news that will bring great joy for all people, even somebody like myself. Good news that we're going to be free. Good news that we're going to be rescued. My buddies and I are paying 80% of our wages in taxes. If you can give us a tax break, we're really in. But you said it's for all people. This good news is for all people. And then you said a Savior is born to you. Do you realize who I am? I'm a shepherd. I'm a shepherd. Nobody wants anything to do with me. People mock me. People alienate me. People make fun of me. People will stay away from me. People don't get anywhere close to me. And by the way, Mr. Angel, I don't even get to go to the temple. But you're saying that he's born for me? For me? Caleb and Benjamin and Hosea and Al and I looked at one another and we couldn't move. We were stuck and it began to realize that these stories that we heard about a Messiah, this promise about a Messiah was coming true tonight. My dad and my dad's dad and my dad's dad and all these dads for all these generations have talked about a Messiah coming, that we're going to be rescued one of these days. But for the last 400 years, Mr. Angel, God has been silent. And now you're telling me God is coming to rescue us, that the Messiah is now here, and he's just on the other side of this hill. Angel just looked at us. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." All of a sudden, this massive choir shows up. And it has this song, and the song is "Glory to God in the highest." Perhaps you might know it better by "Gloria in excelsis Deo." Gloria in excelsis Deo. This chorus, this grand chorus that was so far outnumbered anything I'd ever seen in my life, was singing in unison, "Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo." They kept saying it over and over and over again. We were blown away. Maybe you're wondering, well, just how many people were in that choir? Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to teach you a little Greek right now. Us shepherds have a lot of time to learn different languages. We have the Rosetta Stone thing going on. But in the Greek, this word "heavenly host," in the Greek, the word is stratia. And stratia means an innumerable amount of things. Remember what I told you about the stars being so many that you could not number them. All these stars everywhere, and I see them every night that I'm out with the sheep. The choir numbered beyond the stars. It was massive. It filled up everything. Their words reverberating throughout the valley. Their words perhaps reverberating throughout all of the earth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. They kept singing this again and again, and the five of us had no clue what was going to happen next. And then they were gone. They were gone. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They left. In the last 3 minutes, we had an angel speak to us. We had these angels sing to us. And now there's absolute silence. We don't know what to do. And Benjamin does what Benjamin does when he's scared, and he starts to laugh. And not just a little laugh, it's that type of laugh where you almost hyperventilate type laughing. And it got all of us laughing. Benjamin, we were afraid that he was going to pass out because he was laughing so hard. They looked at me and they said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "I don't know. What do you think we should do?" And Benjamin says, "I know what I'm doing. I'm running." And then Al, the party pooper, says, "We need to check on the sheep. We need to check on those sheep." So we quickly ran over. We looked at the sheep, gave a rough estimate. They looked like they were all there. And we took off. And we ran. Our feet barely touched the ground. Bethlehem could have been 100 kilometers away, but we didn't care. We were going there. And when we got to the outskirts of Bethlehem, we were barely breathing hard at all, and then it hit us. The angel didn't give us an address. The angel said that there would be this baby lying in a manger, and that's how we would know where this is, but the angel didn't give us an address. Our good friend and fellow shepherd goes by the name of Gabriel Pavel Solomon. He loves us to call him Gabriel Pavel Solomon because it sounds so authoritative, but he's a shepherd just like us. But here's the thing about Gabriel Pavel Solomon. He's really good. He can figure out where we need to go. But we're shepherds. We don't show him a whole lot of respect, so we just call him by his initials, GPS. We needed GPS there right then. But we had no idea where to go. Imagine us. There are five of us there, five men lost, and not a one of us is going to ask for directions. We didn't know what to do. And then I looked up, and at the end of the street, I saw a candle in a window. And then we heard a baby crying. We looked at one another and said, "This has to be it." And we ran. We sprinted down that street. And as we got closer and closer, the crying got louder and louder. And then we were outside that house. We paused. And then we entered. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We entered that room. And this teenage girl looked at us. And this young man looked at us. The five of us. Looked at them. And just beyond them was a manger. The baby had stopped crying. And I looked at this couple. They introduced themselves as Mary and Joseph. And I introduced myself and I said, "I can't believe what we've been through in the last 30 minutes. An angel showed up and told us about a baby in a manger. And they said that that baby in a manger is the Messiah. This Messiah that we've been told about for centuries." And they said that we would see him in this manger and he would be lying there. And so we came running as fast as we could. And you don't know us and we don't know you, but all we know is this. Is that we need him. Shepherds. Nobody wants anything to do with us. They want us to take care of their sheep. They want us to. They want us to do all the dirty work that they don't want to do. And we never get to go to the temple. And now, we're here. And in this manger is the one that we always want to see, but we're never allowed to see. And Mary looked at me and said, "Would you like to get closer?" I looked at Mary and I said, "You don't get this, do you? I'm never allowed to get close to God." And Mary said, "Please, come close." So I walked up and I looked down at this baby. My eyes locked with the baby's eyes. And I realized that those eyes knew me better than I knew myself. And I realized that those eyes belonged to the one who put all these stars in place. I realized that those eyes belonged to the one who knew everything about me, was not afraid of me. As I looked at those eyes, I realized that I was looking at this one centuries of people have been longing to see, and now I, a lowly shepherd, gets to see what they wanted to see. It was at that time when I realized my Savior, our Savior, had come. And I looked at him and I said, "Thank you and welcome." And then I walked. The King of Heaven really came down. The King of Kings was in a manger. The King of Kings came to rescue me, a shepherd. You, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a homemaker, an unemployed individual, a part-time worker, a student. That baby came for all of us. Do you know him? Do you know the Messiah that was in a manger, that came to save? Father, we pray now, as we reflect on these words, we pray that we would offer up to you our lives, that we would never forget that Jesus Christ came to rescue all. Even the shepherds, and even people like us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to ask the ushers now to come forward as we respond with our offering. We want to say thank you so very much for what you do in responding to God's call to give to the ministry that he's doing here at FBC Scottsdale. So ushers, please come. It's awesome. This morning we not only celebrate Jesus Christ's birth, but we dedicate this little one, Miriam Kim Hwam, right? Okay. Weber, did I get that right? Okay, good. And this is Charlie and Kim, their beautiful daughter, Miriam, and the godparents, and I've forgotten what your names are. Don, sounds like a good name. No, what is your name?
Elizabeth.
So Don and Elizabeth are here, and this is your brother and sister-in-law, correct? And so I want to say thanks for being here, man. So this is way cool. So we want to ask you a couple questions, Charlie and Kim. How has Miriam impacted your life?
Sure. Definitely pushed to the limit of exhaustion and sleep depravity. For all the new parents out there, don't be fooled. That's the reality. But then when you wake up in the morning and see her smile at you, it's all worth it. Right?
It's kind of affirmed to me the Psalm 37:4, God, delight yourself in the Lord and God will give you the desires of your heart. For many years of my adult life, I had no desire or not a strong desire for a family and wife and family. And about 5, 6, 7 years ago, I started to get this sense in my heart, this desire in my heart for that. And for a number of years after that, sensing that was from God, I would take steps, was taking steps to kind of follow that through. And it wasn't materializing in my life. And so much so it got to be a struggle, so much so that I was went through a period of loneliness and depression because of it. And at a certain point, I would pray off and on, God, you know, if this isn't what you want, if this isn't your desire you placed in my heart, please take it from me. And still there, still strong. At a certain point, I said, you know, just kind of resigned myself to the fact that it wasn't going to happen. Midlife crisis, whatever, you know, and just kind of went on with my life, mentally trying to force myself to get rid of that. And about 6 months after that, I met Kim. And like 3 years later, now we're married with a baby, and she had two that I married into. So like I said, the lesson of that and the impact of that is that God places things on our hearts. And I think everyone in this room has had that, has experienced that, where there's a desire to serve serve people who are lonely and shut-ins, or to serve the homeless, or people, or to serve on a mission, or to help people with addiction and going through recovery. We all have that desire, and at certain points, we start to doubt whether that's from God or not. We go through struggles and to just realize that God places that, and the desire is from God, and it doesn't, and our delight should be from the Lord, not in the circumstances that we encounter. And so that was kind of the short story long. That was my my impact. So anyway,
that is awesome. Thank you, Charlie. So we got two sermons today, and that was really well done. But what you said is so meaningful. And you and Kim have made a decision that you are going to dedicate Miriam to the Lord. And we're here with you. And so I'm going to ask you two a question. Do you commit today to raise Miriam in the fear and admonition and love for the Lord? All right. Behind you is Katie and Kelsey and Libby. They represent the ministries here, the children's ministry, the student ministry, and all of us represent the adult ministry. Oh, okay. You okay there, kiddo? So I'm asking us, Charlie and Kim know this to be true, that we need one another. And so I'm going to ask all of us, do we commit to assist Charlie and Kim in raising Miriam in the fear and admonition and love of the Lord? If you do. Let's pray over Miriam right now. Father, that you would give Charlie and Kim wisdom and grace as they raise this little one. We pray that Miriam would grow closer to you, and she would understand at a very young age that you are the King of Kings and that you love her greatly. Holy Spirit, minister to her, minister to her family through this time. And we lift her into your arms, and we dedicate her to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, let me take Miriam real quickly. Good luck. That's all right. We're good, right? Okay. So there we go. You guys didn't get to see her very well. This is one of the cutest kids you'll ever meet in your life. Okay? All right? So this is her. All right? You don't look very let me fix this. We good now? No, we're not. We'll make this quick. See, take a look. You can see her later. Here we go. So, there we go. So, God bless you guys. All right? All right. So, welcome. God bless. Thanks for being here.
Well, sometimes I don't know how a song is going to go with the service, but this one seems to go perfectly. I'm just thinking of parenting and let's just think of that, how awesome of a father our God is. And if you would stand with me, we're going to sing two more songs, but let's not check out yet. Let's continue worshiping and just love this song.
What they think you're like, but I From afar, hoping to
And that's our desire. In this upcoming week, may we all bring an offering to him. The King of Heaven came down. The King of Heaven, we celebrate his birth this week. And because he came down, he lived among us, and he understands all that you're going through. So this week, in the midst of the chaos of last-minute shopping, which I need to do, in the midst of the chaos of different birthday celebrations, and especially in the midst of perhaps the chaos that you experience when you celebrate Christ's birth, may you experience a peace that goes beyond understanding, and may you know that he is with you always. Because he loves you, and he says, turn to me. God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy what lies ahead. We invite you back on Christmas Eve. We hope to see you there at either 5 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Enjoy this day, and remember, he is with you.